Well, we're thankful for the memory of Alec Dove, and even more thankful for the Saviour in whom he trusted and in whom he had his hope, even in such terrible circumstances and ends. Now we have another reading from the Bible, just a short reading, and this is what I want us to think about for a little while this morning. The reading is from Mark's Gospel and chapter 10. So Mark wrote his Gospel about the life of Jesus, and these verses come in the middle of that. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark 10. If not, here they are on the screen before you. Mark 10, verse 42 to 45. But Jesus called them, that's his disciples, to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So on Remembrance Sunday then, we're conscious, aren't we, of the service and the sacrifice of those generations who lived and fought through the two world wars. How incredibly those men and women served our country and their fellow countrymen as they went to war, as they worked on the land, or just readily lived with all the cost and all the hardship that wartime brought. And so many, of course, not only gave service, but they paid that ultimate sacrifice as they lost their lives defending our nation and other nations. And we're extremely thankful. We should be. It's right that we remember, that we honour them, and we must treasure the freedom and the peace that they secured for us. Now, service and sacrifice are things that we generally admire, don't we? We can see the beauty of them, and you know, we understand this is something noble, this is something worth honouring. We know that we need more of those things, and particularly in these strange, difficult days in which we're living. Well, that's what Jesus is calling his disciples and followers to in that passage that I just read. Service and sacrifice really are themes at the heart of the Bible's message, and certainly at the heart of the life of Jesus. And we see in those words that Jesus calls his disciples to that sort of life and lived that sort of life himself. And yet, if we're honest, we don't actually find service and sacrifice that easy. I mean, we're capable of acts of kindness, but there is, if we're honest, a selfishness and in our hearts that wants our own way and wants our own ease, and very quickly and easily puts ourselves before others and wants to be served rather than to serve. And Jesus is calling for something radically, wonderfully different, and displaying something wonderfully, radically different. So let's look at these words for a while and see Jesus' teaching about service and sacrifice, and then Jesus' life of service and sacrifice. So first of all, Jesus' teaching about service and sacrifice. That's in verses 42 to 44. First of all, Jesus speaks about what the reality often is. Just let me just put those words up again. Look at there in verse 42. Jesus says, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." Jesus is saying that often in this world, greatness is judged by how high a position you have and how much authority you have, how many people you have under you, how many people you have serving you. And very often that position and authority is abused and used for personal gain and advantage and lording it over people. It was Lord Acton who wrote in 1887, "Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely." And we do see that around us in this world, don't we? Power and authority not always used for the good of the people. But what is Jesus saying to his followers? He's saying something wonderfully, radically different, isn't he? He's saying, it shall not be so among you. You're not to be like that. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus is saying true greatness is seen in serving others. The person who's first, as far as God's concerned, is the person who is servant of others. Now, in the immediate context of those verses, two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, have come to Jesus without the other 10 disciples knowing to try and secure top spots in Jesus' kingdom. They sort of think that Jesus is going to become some great earthly king, and they want sort of the best roles in his court. When the other 10 find out, they're cross, but actually only because they wanted those roles themselves. And Jesus is saying, that is not how it's going to work with my followers. Greatness will be displayed in serving others. Those viewed as first will be those who view themselves as servants. In fact, did you notice Jesus uses the word slave? I mean, he's painting this striking picture of someone who lives to serve others. And Jesus isn't just saying, you know, if you want to make it to the top, you've got to be prepared to start at the bottom. He's saying the bottom is the top, that there's nothing more honorable and noble and beautiful than the one who's ready to serve others. That's what true love is that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, a willingness to want the best for others in spite of the cost to you. That's how God made us to live. And yet very often that's not how we live. Often, if we're honest, and I speak for myself, and it's true of us, isn't it? Often selfishness and greed and focusing on ourselves is what shapes what we do. But we can all see the beauty of it, can't we? Sacrifice, service. And it's the sort of life that trusting Jesus and listening to Jesus and following Jesus is meant to produce in us. So, can I speak to those of you who are Christians watching on this morning? As we think about service and sacrifice, is it evident in your life? Is it evidence here in our church at Great Ellingham Baptist Church? Is in our relationships with one another, in our relationships with those around us? Are we servants? Are we willingly serving others, putting others before ourselves, loving in that true way? With all that's going on at the moment, we especially need to be marked by these things. And if you're not a Christian watching on this morning, perhaps you've sort of dismissed Christianity as something ugly, as sort of a way to gain power over people, or just some stuffy religion. Perhaps you've listened to Richard Dawkins, who would tell us that Christianity is this evil thing. Well, you're seeing from the teaching of Jesus the beauty of the Christian life. The love and the selflessness that it is meant to produce. Now, you know, no Christian is perfect. We all fail. But here is the service and sacrifice that Jesus is calling us to, and as Jesus changes us, enables us to do. Now, the mistake a lot of people make is to think that the Bible's message is really just calling us to be nice to each other. You know, just try and be a bit better. Try and be a bit nicer. Try and be a bit kinder. Try a bit harder. People think that being a Christian is about trying to be good. Whereas the truth is that, firstly, Christianity is about admitting that you're not good. Mark, in his gospel, records a couple of chapters further on in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, an occasion when Jesus was asked a question. And the question was this: what is the greatest commandment? What's the first commandment? You know, if I'm going to keep one commandment, Jesus, what should it be? And Jesus' reply was this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In other words, we're called to love and serve God and love and serve others with all our being, putting God and putting others before ourselves. Now, the truth is, none of us have done that. We've made gods of ourselves. We've done our own thing, often at the expense of others. So being a Christian isn't firstly about trying to be good. It is firstly about admitting that you're not good and you can't be good without God's mercy and salvation and forgiveness and life. And that's why we need to go on to consider what else Jesus says here, because he not only speaks, he not only teaches about service and sacrifice, that was his life. Jesus's life of service and sacrifice is what we need to also think about. So let me put those words back up again and read you those last words. Look at verse 45. Having spoken about this is how you must be, he then says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Those words bring us to the heart of the Bible's message, the heart of Christianity. Now, when Jesus speaks about the Son of Man, he's actually speaking about himself. It's a title from a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Daniel. And I often say to folk here that title does two things. It identifies Jesus with us and it distinguishes him from us. So it identifies him with us. He's the Son of Man. He was truly human. He was born and one of us. So he grew and he learnt and he slept and he ate and he wept and knew all the joys and sorrows of life and died. So he's one of us. It identifies him with us, but it also distinguishes him from us. He's the Son of Man. So there's something unique about him. There's something different about him. What is that? He's the God-man. He's God come into our world in human form, Emmanuel, as we'll be thinking at Christmas time. God with us. And you only have to read the eyewitness accounts of his life and listen to his teaching and see the power evident in his life, doing things that only God could do, speaking with authority and wisdom that only God could have. And so you see, the message of the Bible isn't that we've got to try and work our way to God, but that God has come to us. We haven't got to try and earn our place in heaven. God has left heaven for us. And Jesus is the person at the heart of history. So many men and women in the wars did incredible things, didn't they? Courageous things that shaped battles and gained victories. But Jesus has shaped all of history. So when you think of who Jesus is, if ever anyone had the right to be served, it was him, wasn't it? If anyone had the right to think he was too good and too great to serve others, he was the one. And yet he didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came not expecting other people to serve him and meet his needs, but he came in order to meet the needs of others and help others and serve others. And his life was the most beautiful, selfless, giving life that there's ever been. He spent his life tirelessly serving others, meeting the needs of others, filled with compassion for others, the lost and the lonely, the poor and the needy, the despised, teaching them, meeting their needs, showing them love, calling them to repentance and faith, but promising them mercy and grace from God. You know, for me, one of the most compelling things about Christianity is the life of Jesus, the beauty and the integrity of his life. If you've never read the life of Jesus, then you need to do that. If you haven't got a Bible at home, contact us through the website. We'll gladly, if you live in this area, we'll send you a Bible. We'll get you a Bible to read. But where did that service lead him? Where did that servant heart lead him? Well, it led him to the cross. It led him to that ultimate sacrifice. That's what Jesus is speaking about when he says in those words, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, at the heart of the Bible's message is the death of Jesus. A willing sacrifice. That's why he came. That word, ransom. He gave his life a ransom for many. That was a word that was used in the first century for the redemption price for a slave. The price paid to secure the freedom of a slave. So there's a slave in the slave market, and someone comes along and pays the price for their freedom. Perhaps they're a slave because they got into debts. Well, the debts are paid and they're set free. The ransom's paid. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was paying our debts. He was securing our freedom. Our sin is like a debt. We owe God, rightly. He's our creator. He's the one who's made us. He's the one who's given us everything that we have and could have. And we owe him, if you like, our love. We owe him our allegiance. We owe him our worship. And yet we haven't given it to him. Not as he deserves. And it's a debt we can't pay. And will ultimately, rightly, lead us to judgment. Our sin also binds us. And we can't get free from it. But Jesus on the cross gave his life, offered himself as a sacrifice, took our sin on himself, and paid the price by taking the just wrath of God for us. That's the heart of the Bible's message. And so we're so thankful for the brave men and women who gave their lives so that we can enjoy freedom as a nation. But there's a greater freedom to know, a more wonderful freedom to know, the freedom from the guilt of sin, the freedom from the debt of sin, the freedom of having your sins forgiven and being right with God and being able to live in his world in relationship with him. And there's a peace that comes with that. Well, some of you can remember, can't you, the end of the Second World War, when peace was declared and what joy that brought. But there's a greater peace to know. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in your heart. A peace in all the midst of all the troubles of life. And even when you face death. Because, of course, the Bible's declaration is that Jesus not only died, but the third day he rose again. The people who saw him die, saw him risen from the dead, wrote about it, were willing to die declaring it. And that life, that eternal life, can be ours. So what are you and I called upon to do? Well, not firstly to try and be a bit better and be a bit nicer, but firstly to confess our sin and admit our need of a saviour and trust in that ultimate sacrifice so that in Jesus we can know forgiveness and pardon and peace with God. Our sin is like fighting God, and it will not end well. But God in his mercy and grace invites us to come and cast ourselves upon him and trust in him and find forgiveness and life and peace and hope beyond the grave. The sort of hope that Alec Dove had as he went off to war. Do you have that peace this morning? Well, Jesus calls you to come to him and trust in him. If you have any questions, get in touch with us through the website. I would love to speak to you more about these things. So Remembrance Sunday, we honour those who gave their lives. And we give thanks for their memory. But we are even more thankful that the freedoms that they gained us enable us to hear about this wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So that as we come to him and trust in him, and as he changes our hearts and changes our lives, then we can begin to be like him and live that life that he so wonderfully displayed.